April 21st, 2021, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua, and then we have a brief announcement, and we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. We are asking all the believers during this Holy Month of Ramadan to say a prayer, dua, for our beloved brother, Brother Akil Ali, Zora Ali's son, who's in the hospital. We ask Allah to bless him and strengthen him and bless him to get well and come back home to his loved one. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 7 to 9, sun and the moon together. At length, when the sight is dazed, and the sun is buried in darkness, and the sun and the moon are joined together. Masjid al-Bastiba, page 2, 1051, intellect, no better gift. Narrated, Abu Huraira, the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the intelligence, he told it to stand up and it did so. Then he told it to turn its back and it did so. Then he told it to turn its face and it did so. Then he told it to set and it did so. He then said, I have created nothing better or more excellent or finer than you. By you I shall receive, by you I shall give, and by you I shall know, and by you I shall reprieve, and by you rewards will be gained, and by opposing you punishment will be received. So moon, symbolic of scholars and scientists. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 7 to 8. Sight confused days. So the question is asked, when is the day of resurrection? The Holy Quran says, when the sight is confused, you think you're seeing now, and you're boastfully because you say you see. You say your knowledge is sound, so you think. But when that knowledge runs into something else that's going to shake it right to its foundation, you are going to become confused, and at that time, you won't be as rigid as bones. The book also says that the moon becomes dark. You've been following your light. The moon of their world is symbolic of their leaders, their scholars, and their scientists. So when the moon becomes dark, it means when your scholars and scientists become dark, and they can't even help you to get out of the darkness and confusion of the knowledge. So when the sun and the moon are brought together and the knowledge and your scholars become one, man will ask on that day where to flee. No, there is no refuge. The sun and the moon is giving with a double message. One message is saying to those who boast and their love and their knowledge, that there is coming a time when your knowledge is going to fail you. The leader of the knowledge that you're looking at are going to fail you too. you're going to see them both as one, meaning one can't help the other, and the one is no better than the other. Something else is going to take place that is not given here, but is here as a hidden hint. Sun, moon together means revelation, and the prophets are one. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 9, sun and the moon together. But there is going to come a time when the messenger and the revelation shall come together as one. You are going to see that there is one message and one messenger. That's the sun and the moon coming together. So the sun and the moon comes together in the Holy Quran. The message of the most important prophets are given in the Quran, and all of them are given as a message of Islam. So Muhammad, completion of all prophets. So the last messenger given here is Muhammad, as Muhammad, and he is called the completion of the messengers. He stands as all messengers coming into one. So he takes all the scriptures of those messengers and show them as one. You have the man, the message, and you have the revelation, which is the sun, is one. So when they are brought together, the sun and the moon, man will ask on that day, where is there to flee? The argument is ended. They have been picking up their particular man, causing confusion in religion. But what will you be able to do when he shows you that this is one book and one man? The Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 24 to 30, one leg will be joined to the other. The Quran, Surah 68, Ayah 42, shin exposed. Tayammun with sand, the top superstitious thinker. The water has some spooky powers. So water, sand for man's moral and spiritual nature. Earth stands for man's logical mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the revelation of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the messenger to all people, he says to us regarding ablution that if you cannot find suitable water, use clean earth. Do you think this is only cleaning up the problem for simple people? No, indeed. It is also clearing up the problem for the intellectual and the religion. On the common knowledge level, what is it saying to us? It is saying that religion with God is not spooky. It is rational. There is nothing spooky about the water. Don't think that you can make ablution without water. The water has no spooky power. In the world, some of the religious people come to believe that the water has spooky power. And aren't there religious people right now believing the water has spooky power? Haven't you in your time heard that they go over to in the Middle East to Jordan, the Zamzam, and come back here with water, and they sell it for high prices thinking it has spooky powers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us water is good and best for cleaning, but it has no spooky powers. Your prayers will still be accepted if you can't find the suitable water. Use clean earth. If you find clean sand, rub it in your hand. It will clean your hands. And after you clean your hands, you can take the clean hands and wipe your face. You can cleanse your body with clean sand. So if you can't find any clean sand, if you know that a stone is clean, can't you rub the hand on that stone and clean it? Is there some clear corn stalks and you're out in the field and the earth is muddy? Couldn't you take the corn stalk and clean your hands? Yes. Tayammum means using clean something from the earth to take off dirt. So what does it say to people on a higher level of religious understanding? They have secret symbolic teachings where the water stands for something and the earth stands for something. The water stands for man's moral and spiritual nature. The earth stands for man's logical mind and purely rational side of man. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us in this teachings on ablution? He is telling us that human knowledge cleans us. That is, moral knowledge, spiritual excellence, moral excellence cleans us, but also rational knowledge cleans us. Haven't many of our good morals come to us from men who were not looking for morals? They were looking for rational, logical conclusions. But the logical conclusion also gave us knowledge for moral excellence. So our morals just don't come from the human excellence. The morals also come from search. One feeds the other as the two legs. One advances the other. The right leg moves up to and brings the left leg up. The left leg moves up to bring the right leg up. So this is Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying the sinners shall be martyred with their legs tied together. So what does that mean? You will have the power to enter into the discussion with God. You won't have, pardon me, you will have no power, pardon me, you will have no power to enter into the discussion with God to justify your wrong. Excuse me. What that means, you will have no power to enter into in the discussion with God to justify your wrong. You won't be able to hide one truth, project half of it like you do in this life. You hide the right leg and talk about the left one, or you hide the left leg and talk about the right one. You get on a rational issue and you demand that we say right on the cut and dry. Rational point. You say don't let any morals come into this. So we are not talking about the moral aspect. So when we face God, your total life should be together before him. You won't be able to hide moral evidence while projecting the cut and the dry rational lie. And those who say religion is all spookism that won't be able to hide the logical facts while pretending to establish a truth upon spookism. So your taqwa reaches me, not your blood. Abraham sacrificed not his son, but a lamb. So blood sacrifice stops Jesus on cross. Shin bone laid bare means oppose the real issues. Do you see how beautiful the religion is? Quran says they shall be marshaled before the judgment with their legs together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that the shin bone shall be bared. There is only a thin skin over the shin bone. It doesn't have a lot of flesh on it. Quran says that their shin bone shall be exposed, what is under the skin. So the strong support on the outside is the little weak cover. A lot of people want to talk about the covering, but they won't get to the heart of the matter. They just talk about the superficials, but won't get into the issue. God is going to bear the shin. You're going to have to talk about the real issue. The religious leadership, don't they avoid the real issues when you challenge them? Then to ask, is it wrong that you worship flesh and blood? Isn't it wrong that you worship blood sacrifice? When God told the prophets before the New Testament that you shall not make blood sacrifices, that God wants not that kind of sacrifice, the sacrifice that he wants is obedience. Why have you brought that blood sacrifice, something that was stopped by Prophet Abraham and other prophets who came behind him? You still have it in religion. They want to go to the heart of the matter. They will start talking about the superficial things, and they will hide part of the argument while trying to establish an excuse. Olive Lucian tells us that the human being is a total life, a complete entity, that he is not two people. He is one person. Trinity started in Egyptian ruler's monument. Dualism, nature worship, was steeped in man's growth. It was in Egypt, looking at some of the ancient monuments there, and I saw the symbolism that I believe came into the religion because people were ignorant and wouldn't keep God's guidance. They just came to the conclusion that this was it, and they introduced it into the religion, dualism. When you study the religious history of most of the people of the world, you will find that they have practiced at some time dualism and nature worship. So these are steps in man's growth. They see things, they seem to be the answer, and they come to the conclusion that they are the answer. But if you remain faithful, you eventually grow out of those simple things that were wrong, and we come into the right understanding. So they have a state of the man ruling. They have for his legs two sons. His right leg is one son, and his left leg is another son. So these are the two people. In his body, he's making the third. You have one from the Trinitarian in Christianity, but believe me, that Trinitarian thing is all over. People have gone wrong. Not that everybody worships their God in one, but particularly everywhere. I know religion to have been, they all have had a concept that is evolving three principles or three essentials or important figures. For Christianity, it is Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Quran Surah 76, Ayah 6, service of God. God sent prophets to us to tell us. They introduced themselves to us as God's servants, and they are our model. They are our leaders to teach us that all of us should be God's servants. And Allah completes control over the human being. The Quran Surah 76, Ayah 30, there is no willing except God's will. Believe it or not, God has more control over the mind, thinking, and spirit of the power of the human being than they have over themselves. God has more control over every human being than that human being has over himself. He can't even think in a way that God doesn't want him to think. If God doesn't want him to think that way, he can't think that way. God doesn't have to kill anybody. He just prevents you from causing trouble, prevents you from making any problems for him. He doesn't have to kill you. He controls your thinking and everything. Anytime he wants to, he can control your thinking, and you can't. He can make you happy with the thinking that you perhaps, without him interfering with your thinking or with your mind, you would be so bitter. And so enraged, you would probably be going after something to kill it. He can deal with your thinking and have you go to it and kiss him. God is the living God, and he is present all the time, and he is in your mind and in your life more than you are in your mind and in your life. That goes for every human being on earth. He is in their mind, in their spirit, in their life more than they are. So how can they cause trouble for him? And he doesn't want it. As long as we continue to be persons believing in God, is not going to let anything happen to harm us. Nothing is going to happen to us but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen. Milk symbolic of the kind believers. Breast milk for the baby looks similar to the sperm germ that starts its life. The Quran Surah 77, Ayat 20, man from a fluid water dispense. The Quran Surah 48, Ayat 29, kind to believers, hard against disbelievers. The Quran Surah 31, Ayat 14, baby went on milk for 2 years, weaned on milk for 2 years. The Quran Surah 97, Ayat 4, angels descend on every urn. So the life comes to baby needs food, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mother naturally to have food ready for the baby when the baby comes. So the breast fills up with the fluid for the baby. The baby comes and there is milk from the human mother, not a cow or of the world, from the human mother. And the life of the baby is sustained. And the baby is comforted. The hunger is removed. And the baby begins to grow and increase as a human flesh and blood body, right? And it is giving milk something liquid resembling how the life started. Some of this milk now looks so cheap until it really looks like a poor man's sperm, almost water. So you need to eat some beef, man. His sperm is almost water. The angels in the spirit that descended in the night, when the revelation came to Muhammad, they are rejoicing. They are listening to Imam W.D. Muhammad just like you, but they hear much more than you hear. They are just rejoicing at God's blessing me to communicate these things to you. So the Muslims are told, those who stand in the way of the light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you to be firm against them, to love you one another, and be as soft as milk on the believers. Isn't that beautiful? There is a big message in that. Be as soft as milk. So when you are trying to get the believers to go or move the way you want them to go, don't get angry, hostile, and mean, and start speaking down to them and beating them over the head with something that hurts, like a solid rock or something, like a club. No, be as soft as milk. As milk means be by them like the mother was by her baby when she was giving him milk from her breast. Go back to the time of milk, feeding, and be kind like the human life. It wasn't. It is serving in that purpose. So in that time, isn't that wonderful? See how so much is given in just one word, milk. Look how rich milk is in its language of communicating God's guidance to us. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you get that understanding if you don't make connections? You have to connect milk. And what happened at the time of milking or feeding milk to the baby? You have to connect that scene. And what is happening there with what God is addressing? Don't be harsh on believers. Don't be talking to them so rough. Don't be treating them as something hard that you can't reach with softness. Remember when you were an infant in the care of the woman, mother, and she was feeding you milk. She held you so gently and so tenderly. This is wonderful. The Quran Surah 77, Ayah 21, sperm place of rest firmly fixed. So urge and intellect needs a womb. So the urge and the intellect needs a womb. The female, they represent the state of the mind that has to be in order for that proper womb to be there, for that urge to develop properly. It includes what? An awareness of our developmental nature. And that kind of answer is a wound for the intellectual urge to develop in. So when we become aware of our development nature, we know that we have to have a social environment. A certain social concern must be existing in the person in order for the urge and the intellect to grow man and to manifest in the form of civilization. So we know that. I think that this is very clear for some of you that is not clear. Having sperm, the Quran Surah 74, Ayah 21, sperm put in a place of rest firmly fixed. That which we put in a place of rest firmly fixed, the creation of the human being needed what first? Peace and quiet. God says the life germ, sperm, of man is placed in a female, and it is put in a situation where it is safe and at peace, protected from noise and trouble, safe and at peace. And because God has created a situation like that, for the life germ completes itself and gives us a whole person, physical male and female, what is a great production. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that production is made possible because it is placed in a situation where it is at peace and protected from harm and trouble. And we are told a story that we all begin our existence in paradise. We were conceived and then put in the world to produce. Conceived in paradise and it put into the world to produce, and we were able to produce because we were conceived in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us from a peaceful state, free of burden, not hurting, pain. And then he puts us in the yoke field, the work field, pardon me, the work, and we are able to produce because we were formed in heaven. So heaven forming humans now by Islamic teachings of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. So these people who are being formed in the hills of the streets, can you see how come they are not productive? Why they cannot contribute to the CPC contrast, to the establishment, to the structures in their neighborhoods? They offer nothing because they are created in hell. But if we remain devoted to this religion, we will create an environment like this. We are being formed in heaven right now to those who are sensitive to what is happening in this room. We are being formed in heaven right now. And we can go in the world and be productive. They won't cripple us with their sins, and our souls will be sensitive to the need of human life. And each one will go his own way to his own interest. And we all will contribute to the building of a new world. And it is happening all the time. It is not to come. So when we look at the objective world, we see two worlds and not just one. Shouldn't we see our world, the world of righteous trying to obey God, and the world of those who don't care? Don't let the world of those who don't care dampen our spirits or hurt us in any way. Let us keep our own world in our eyes. Our own world feeds our life. It says, don't even gaze upon the wicked world, because if you turn your eyes and look at that focus, you are going to be fed by the wrong thing. You will have the wrong spirit coming into your life. So keep your vision eyes focused on your life and your world, and that will keep you strong to survive all of the harm from the things that are happening in the world of the ungodly. The devil is constantly trying to build a world of the ungodly so that it will choke out our life and we will have no place to live. But he is going to fail, and he's failing, and he is going to continue to fail. The Quran, Surah 77, Ayah 25, earth draws together living and the dead. So God made earth a resting place for us, for our grouping together and our sojourn. Here in the earth is where we pursue our goals. Adam wasn't rejected. Iblis was rejected. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 40, man controls desire. So we know these things, trying times. We know these are trying times, state for man, the passion. So God says of that passion itself, my passion itself, that it is subject to corruption, that it comes by corruption except for those whom God has shown his mercy. So Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, was affected by that world, by the negative influences of the world, but remained in the perfect state that God created him before even revelation came to him. And what did he create? What did he credit it with? His success, with him being protected. The mercy of God, because they asked him and they said, is that also true for you? He said, yes, that he too was saved only because of mercy of God. So the Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 42 to 4, ask you about last hour. You will know what time it is by God's clock, not by yours. So you will know what time it is by God's clock, without us being able to predict the end of the time, the end came. The end came. The great Soviet Union was dismantled. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 1, he frowned and turned away. Now, how many men who are trying to establish themselves as perfect leaders for a society that God is speaking well say that God corrected me today because I made a mistake? The Holy Quran says he frowned and turned away. It's talking about Prophet Muhammad himself. He is Prophet Muhammad himself speaking with his mouth what God has said to him. God was admonishing him, not so much him directly, but it is more important to understand that he was admonishing the Arab people who had that seriously, who had that problem as a serious problem in their makeup. Prophet Muhammad had it only as a slight problem. He did it without conscience. He was consciously trying to obey God. He was consciously trying to bring a big following to God in doing so. He followed the habits of the people who had a serious problem in them. So God spoke to their serious problem to Prophet Muhammad. But still, Prophet Muhammad is being directed before the people by God that is speaking to him. So when the blind man came to him, he frowned and turned away because he was in haste. He was hurrying to talk to a group of leaders, well-to-do, strong members of the society, that he thought that if I could see, I can convince these people. These people can help me bring the small people around. So you see, he overlooked something, and God reprimanded him openly before the people. And then his intentions were so pure that he didn't say, I can't tell the people this revelation. It came out so purity of intention. And very, very important, if we would just purify, make our intentions right, then Almighty God would come into our lives and guide us. But will you yourself guide someone that you saw bad intention in and were against you, no, you wouldn't get him. So intentions to serve Allah only. There are some of you who show to me, oh, I have learned so much. I've advanced in so many areas. But when I look at you, I see one thing missing. I don't see you, the purity of intention. I don't see you, the desire to serve divine will and divine will only. I see some of you, the desire to make yourself big. So I say, yes, brother, you're a wonderful man. Go on, keep going. If we can just make our intentions right, that act needs only one hand, one stroke, and one wife. Is that right? So the one wife would do that, brothers. The society doesn't have to help you with that. You know your intentions. The society doesn't know your intentions. So if you would just make up your mind and make one stroke, say, I'm going to conform to God's will and my intentions, and God will enter your ears and direct your life and will help you in your walk of life. He will help you in everything you have to do. He doesn't have to speak but once, and we don't have to open our ears but once, but it has to be total commitment. So blind, the Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 1 to 2, he frowned. Darwin, fraud, a way to treat the condition, pardon me, find a way to treat the condition rather than to teach the condition. I can see that happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up things to us, and we can become very, very productive in many, many ways, especially culture, regular literature, but also fictional literature. We can become very productive. That's what others did, so why should not we? They came into the knowledge and they made their contributions to the world and profited and are still profiting much from contributing their knowledge to the world. So there are so many ways now you can reach human hearts, souls, and minds to bring about positive change and reform without coming directly from scripture to try to convert people. And this time, this is not the way. Try to find a way to treat the condition rather than teach the condition. So we have the knowledge to treat the condition. Let us do it. They do not have any ears for teaching. They are all deaf and dumb. The world has them turned off. They are not interested in what you have to say. You're going to teach them about scripture. They do not want that. The only people who want that are those who are already devoted to scripture. Well, what about that blind man? Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, the big people had attracted him because he knew they were not directly accepting right guidance. They were not having their life directed correctly. But he knew that they were not ignorant. They were not blind. It didn't say the people was going to were blind. They were informed rich people. What is the difference between the people he was attracted to and the people that he did not have time for? Some could see, this one could not see. So the blind man is not really blind. He just cannot see the way. He cannot see to make it in the world. So he was going to those big shots, who knew how to make it in the world. And you want them to become Muslims and be rightly guided. So what about you are just walking past to get to them? They are all in your way. They are everywhere. What about those who are walking past to get those special people you want to convert because you think they will turn your mission into success right away. So he was rebuffed by God for making the wrong decision. His heart was right. He wanted to reach big. He wanted to bring big results to Al-Islam quick. And it was not just. Jesus did not teach. He treated the condition. So we have that blind man all around us, right? Blind people all around us. So let it be like Christ Jesus treat the condition. He did not teach the blind man. He took mud and put some spit into it and rubbed it on his eyes and let it sit there for a while. And the blind man said, I can see. So inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, God has blessed us to come to the right strategy. We have the strategy. We have the medicine. It's going to take us a little time, but I believe in a little while, the paper are opening up for us. So the Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 159, believer in Jesus before his death. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 37, each will be concerned with his own self. Matthew 10:38, whoever takes not his cross is not of me. Each person takes his own burden or cross responsibility. So we have to accept that time in the future promises us less and less from government and from other people, it says. There is coming a time when every soul will have enough problems of its own not to be bothered with others. So this is Quran. And that time is here. Everybody has enough problems of their own not to be bothered with your problem. Jesus took upon himself a cross, didn't he? And that cross was his cross, but he asked of his followers that each of them take upon themselves their cross. And it is the tradition of Christians to wear crosses because this is what he left with them. Now, what does that say that every individual must bear his own cross? God holds Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, responsible for the office he gave him. He held him responsible for that. So individual responsibility is cross. So he, as an individual, had an individual responsibility to God for the office that God entrusted with him with. So in Christianity, that is his cross. That's Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon his cross. So his individual responsibility that God gave him is his cross. For us, the responsibility that God created us for as individuals is our cross. Listen, please, this is very important. Cross means self in the balance. So when you look at the cross, what do you see? It's really a picture of two things, because those two things must become reconciled in man at some point if he is to have the great life that God created him for. It's symbolic of your firstly, see, man, arms outstretched. It's a cross. It's exactly what it is. So when they put Jesus on the cross, really, he himself is the cross. Jesus is the cross. That means himself is balanced. The tightrope walker, he has to stretch his arms like that to stay balanced on the tightrope. So we know the cross has more than one meaning. It has several meanings, and this is one of its most important meanings. That it means, I should say, its first and most important meaning, that this individual is in perfect balance. Cross means Jesus lived his life in balance before God. So this crucifix appears to be when the man is here looking pitiful and brutalized, blood dripping from the thorn in his head and holes in his hands, and feet showing blood. This is a sign of cruelty. misery. It makes us feel sad. But the Quran wants us to see that this is an appearance to hide another appearance. So this is a picture to hide another picture. Now, under this picture of sadness, of torture, of cruelty is another meaning. It means that Jesus lived all of his life in perfect balance before God. That is what it means, that his life was perfectly balanced before his Lord. And he died a Muslim, died in the perfect balance, in the Muslim nature, upright. That's what it means. So this is the real cross. The other cross hides this cross. It makes this cross the cross that says Jesus died in perfect balance. It said they are going to kill him, crucify him. He said, this is the purpose for which he sent me into the world. You're going to crucify me, kill me, to give my all, including my life. If I have to make the ultimate sacrifice, I will make it and remain faithful to my Lord, never betraying him, never slacking, never shortchanging him. Then God will record me. And I did in the perfect balance. So you didn't kill me. I came here to do this. This is my purpose. You didn't kill me. I gave you my life. You didn't take it. God sent me in the world to give it for his cause. And I gave it. How can you take what I gave to God? Are you listening to me? How can you take what I came to give to my God in obedience, even if it means losing my life? Such a shaheed is never killed, never crucified. He's obedient in his God, and he will give his all rather than to disobey his Lord. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayah 37, each one concerned with his own self. Palms 2:3, let us break their bond. Marriage relationships should be based on sex. Shouldn't be, pardon me. Marriage relationships shouldn't be based on sex. The relationship of man to wife or husband to wife, it is not sexual, but sex is a necessary element. That's all. The relationship should never be based upon sex. Even the lower animals do not base their relationship upon sexual pleasure. They have that pleasure and realize that the product or produce of that action is now in the female, and she changes her behavior and she gets serious about being a mother before even the baby comes. This is an animal. And when the baby is here, she is devoted to the life of that baby. So the purpose for mating is to extend life, to keep the life existing, to care for life. So after the present ones are gone, the life continues in the best form. So this is devotion to community life, isn't it? So your sexual act should be devotion to community life. So this is natural in man before, and man before, and man before, the world of commercialism spoiled them. They see a wife as a future, the natural man in his original nature. The wife sees the husband as a future. They look to family to having babies and having more company than just one or two people. So they look at the growing future of family organizations of people loving one another and working one another and supporting each other's life and extending the productivity and the interest of life. That's what they see, and that's what community life should be. And when we take sex for nothing but sex, you're less than animals. If that is what your wife is to you, your sex thing, you are less than an animal, my brother. I never had it in my spirit to see sex as just sex and a dirty thing. always had it in my spirit. You know what sex was to me? A beautiful flower with pollen. It looks nice and smells nice. And it mixes with something from another, the opposite life. And it reproduces fruit. Here is the plain. Here, the plant has been transformed. It is no more just a plant bearing leaves. The flower now is a plant bearing fruit, the fruit of Islam. Look at yourself, brother, as fruit. Is your production sweet smelling? Is productive tasty, giving us energy to do our work, to keep moving and doing things? The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 3, mountains. The Quran, Surah 16, Ayah 15, mountains set, least earth shakes. Allah says, and if he hadn't set upon mountains, the earth would have shaken with you. So mount plus din, like retain holding. Is that right? So they are stabilizers. So you see, the very word mountain tells us something. Mountain, tame, train, at the end of the word suggests that something is holding, maintaining, retaining, sustaining. It tells us that something is holding. And mount means that it is mounting up. And it is also holding itself, right? So mountain represents intelligent authority, respect. When deterioration sets into the natural state of man's intellect, he loses his spiritual curiosity. So death sets upon the spiritual sciences. And then his ability to command respect is lost. There is now no for his personality or personally. See, the mountain commands respect. It is as a symbol of authority. Man wants to go up on the mountain to get behavior, a broader vision. Sometimes he just wants to challenge the mountain to see if he can climb up that high. We are talking about the intellect. Quran says, then the mountain vanishes as a mirage. So the natural urge in the intellect dies. Man loses attachment with the natural urge, with the intellect. It is warning that losing respect for God is what brought him into the natural urge. As a consequence for that, his spirit vision dies, and then his ability to gain respect in society is lost. And we see that. That's the way it happens. Look how the young generation turned against the old establishment. Change is taking place, but we haven't recovered from that. The young are still not inclined to respect the old or the elders. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 5, wild beasts gathered. Wild beasts gathered, or wild gangs in the streets. So the mountain must then represent intelligence, because now with the intelligent authority gone, wild beast takes over. There is no intelligence now to discipline the wild beast or keep them in their borders. They now come out of their borders and begin to organize themselves like the gangs that are in Philadelphia, Chicago, etc. The neighborhood that was once under the church influence is now terrorized by gangs, right? And the church can't handle the gang, and the gangs handle the church. So the mountain is gone, and the wild beasts are herding together like gangs, cobras with cobras, pythons with pythons. They all have different names. They meet with each other, then another group of gangsters with another group. They don't even fall into that category, but they are herding together, too, like the central authority. Central vision is lost. Central authority is gone. for the wild beasts are herding together. She camel represents individual intellect. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayat 4, she camel. She camel then represents the individual intelligence and the sun, the natural earth, and the intellect that gives birth to vision. That is the religious vision or cultural vision that lights the world's civilization. This happens after its spiritual insight goes away. And then the mountain of the authority goes away. And then the individual loss of respect for authority. Loss of society, authority, then the individual dignity. The authority and society leaves for the individual loses his dignity, individual dignity, individual composure, sense of rational responsibility in the individual. It doesn't die inside before it dies outside. It dies outside. It is still living in the individual, but in time, the individual is influencing by what is popular, by what is the established order. The individual begins to conform to that. So after the mountain of lost authority and the society is lost for those principles, for those intellectual values, then gradually it's going to influence the individual who has been priding himself in being an intelligent person. But he is overwhelmed by the development that are forming in the society. And pretty soon now he finds himself conforming to habits that really are not himself. If you ask him, man, well, were you always like this? He says, no, man, come to think of it, I wasn't this kind of dude. So camel lump vigilant. So here you know a camel has a lump in his back. Two, he's mounting up. He's mounting up. And he is very vigilant. Have you ever seen a camel? Have you ever seen one in the movies? In the desert, he is watchful. The camel doesn't go like the donkey. The camel goes like this, looking all around. And the donkey goes looking straight ahead. Yes, I have seen them. And when he speeds, he points his head straight out. As when he speeds, he knows that he can't be distracted by something over there. He is intelligent, circumspect. He wants to know what is happening all around him. He's working. Pardon me, he's walking, looking all around him. He doesn't want anyone to pull any surprise on him. Hadith, trust God, tie your camel. Well, there is something in the Hadith that explains to us what is meant by a camel. When Prophet Muhammad came to Medina, what instinct did he trust to lead him to the safe house? Or safe home. Camel, he let his camel loose. And the horse and the house were there where his camel went to. That house where he said that he would stay in. So Hadith find lost seat saved for master's seat. Camel lives. Leave it alone, he will find his way. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise Marat Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. We will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It only means if it please God. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.